I give him a round of applause this morning. All right.
All right, guys, are you guys ready for the last service? Yeah. Here we go. Let's do it. I'm excited to be here, excited to preach. This is my first time actually preaching to all of you at camp. Normally, I do the split sessions, so I'm really excited to be here. And I got a message I think will really help you as we close out camp. And I think it'll be a blessing to your heart. I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to turn to two places. The first place we're going to go is right to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 25. So turn to Genesis chapter number 25. Keep your finger there or put something there. So Genesis 25, the first book in the Bible, the 25th chapter. Genesis 25. Got your Bible? No? All right. All right, Genesis, who's got it? Everybody got it? All right, keep your finger there or put something there and then go to Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews is in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, all right? So Genesis 25 and Hebrews chapter 11. That's going to be where we turn to today. And I want to read first for you from Genesis 25. So find Hebrews chapter 11 and go back to Genesis chapter number 25. Everybody got it? All right, we're going to Genesis. Genesis 25, verse number 28. Here's what the Bible says. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So we're going back into the Old Testament. We're going back into the what we call maybe the first family of Israel. There's Abraham. He had a son, Isaac. Isaac had sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob would have his name changed to Israel, and his 12 sons would become the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this is the first family of Israel. We're reading about them here in Genesis 25 and verse 28. And let's continue reading here in verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, which means he cooked, he made pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, am I at the point to die? And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. It's an incredible story. He's out hunting. Esau is, he gets hungry, he comes home, his brother's cooking basically stew, pottage, lentils. He's so hungry, he thinks he's going to die, and he says, if you don't give me that pottage, I'm going to die. So he sold his birthright. Now, these families, Abraham was a very wealthy man, he had lots of money, lots of cattle, lots of servants. And so they would pass down that wealth to the firstborn, which would have been Isaac, the firstborn there for Abraham. And then Isaac's firstborn son was actually Esau. But because he sold his birthright on this day, it switched. And Jacob now became the one who received the inheritance. All for a pot of stew, a bowl of stew. It's a pretty high price. All that wealth, all that inheritance, just for a pot of stew. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Real quickly, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 24. We're talking about Moses. Now, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'll explain what all that means in just a second, but let's begin by prayer, and then we'll jump into this message. We'll be done quickly, but I want to leave you with a thought here as we go down the mountain. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you for your word. Lord, you have spoken in this place to these people, to me. And Lord, all of us have made decisions today. Some made a decision that will never be erased. They decided this week to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a powerful and amazing decision that is. Others made decisions that they can go back on. They maybe decided that, hey, I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to keep my mind pure. I'm going to keep my body pure. I'm going to become a minister of the God. I'm going to serve God with my life. They made decisions this week, and so God, they can go back on those decisions, and quite frankly, they can sell them to the devil. And so God, I pray that each teenager here that made a decision will determine today before they go down the mountain that their decisions, that their life, their soul is not for sale. And they'll seal that decision today. And God, I pray that you bless this message. I pray that you'd use me, God. I pray that you'd help me today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This has been an awesome week. I have loved this week of camp. It may be our best week ever of camp. It's been awesome. You guys have participated in an amazing way. You've given yourselves doing crazy stuff. I've loved every part of it. I love participating in it. I love getting to know you guys. It's been incredible. But more than that, we've had a great time. How many of you guys had a great time? It's been awesome. I'm glad you came. I'm so glad you came. Honestly, we probably would have had a pretty cool time without campers up here. We could have had some great food, a lot of great food. We would have had some, the games would have been a little bit lame. But we would have done our best, but really, you guys made camp. It would have been the same without you, so thank you so much for coming. Have you guys enjoyed the food? It's been great, right? Brother Sammy, our camp speaker, said, I've been to a lot of camps. He preaches all over the country, preaches all over the nation. He said, I've been to a lot of camps, a lot of youth conferences. This is the best food. And all of the preachers that preachers say that. The best food that we've ever had at camp was here. Usually at breakfast, it's just cereal. Lunch, it's like cereal again. Just eat it. Just don't die. It's like sandwiches for dinner. It's kind of lame, but we have amazing food each and every, even the last day. And we'll thank the cooks in just a second, but it's been amazing. Let's give them a hand. Yeah, let's give them a hand. It's been awesome. We'll thank them again a little bit later. And you know what? Truthfully, we have had some incredible preaching. Brother Sammy, unbelievable, right? I mean, man, sometimes he's preaching to them, man, he's gonna eat somebody. It's amazing preaching. He's going like this and preaching. I'm like, wow, we've heard some great preaching. It's been an awesome week. But all of this, the reason why we do all of this, the reason why we bring these preachers from the mainland, the reason why we bring great cooks and we have great counselors. I think this is the best year of counselors. I know that for sure. This is the best year of counselors. We have great counselors this year. Never heard them complain one time. And we asked them to come drink this nasty drink. They come right up. You know? And they did everything great. They were awesome. The counselors this year were great. We've had great counselors in the past, but these guys were tremendous. But we do all of that. We bring them up here. We put a lot of work into it. We don't sleep that great this week. Really for one reason. And that is so that you will make a decision or several decisions for God. And I want to ask you that here at the very beginning of this message. How many of you guys made a decision for God this week? You got saved. You made a decision for God. Anybody? Good. I want to ask you this. How many of you trusted Christ this week? You got saved. You said, I trusted Christ. They took me down, showed me from the Bible, and I trusted Christ. How many is that? Raise them up real high. I want to see. Raise them up. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. That's awesome. Praise God for that. That's amazing. Give him a hand. How many of you would be bold enough to say, I made a decision this week, and would you share it with us? Anybody have a decision that you want to share? Monty?
I decided that I was going to dedicate my life to God and serve Him.
Amen. Amen. We're excited to see what God's going to do with your life. You got what you need there, and it's amazing. You got a good character and a good personality. I think God will use you. And I love the fact that right away when Brother Samuel said, if you'd like to, would you stand? Boom, he's first one up. Just stood right away. I knew God was speaking to them. That's amazing. Anybody else want to share real quick something that you decided this week? That's all right. Great. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Really, that's what camp is all about. We come up to this place. We have no reception on our cell phones. We turn all that stuff off. We have no idea what's happening in the world today. Truthfully, I mean, we don't know. The world could have had war, bombed. They could be gone. We don't even know. We go down, everything. Who knows, right? We've been up here for 4 days. We have no idea what's going on. And we do that for a reason. And the reason is to bring you apart to have God speak to you. And when God speaks to you, we hope that because there's nothing going on, there's no PlayStation, there's nothing going on, there's no Xbox, there's no cell phones, there's nothing going on, there's no TV, that you can hear him. And that you respond to that speaking by making decisions. But in a few hours, just a few hours, this is all over. And yet there's one looming question that I have for you. How much is your decision worth? What's it worth? How much is the decision? You came forward, you knelt at the altar, you prayed, you had tears streaming down your face. You made a decision for God. God, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my family. I'm going to go home and I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be at church every time I can. I've trusted you. I've done something for you. I have made a decision for Christ. I want to ask you this morning, how much is it worth? Because you're going to go down the mountain. And as you go down the mountain, there's a buyer for that decision. There's somebody that says, hey, I want to make a deal with you. I want to buy your decision from you. You see, Moses in our text had a decision to make about how much he was willing to pay to stick to his decision to follow Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And here's why he did it. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, Moses had a choice to make. Do I stick with God and suffer with the people of God? Or do I enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt? Or just enjoy pleasure in Egypt? See, Moses had it all. Moses was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which means that when Pharaoh was to die, the next in line to be Pharaoh is Moses. And Egypt at this time is the wealthiest nation in the world. Everything was there. They had all of the riches, the treasures. Everything was there. The most powerful military was all in Egypt. And he had it all. He had everything. Can you imagine that? Being in a place in your life where you can be the ruler of the most powerful nation of the world and be there, be basically the ultimate being in that nation. Everything that you can want, you can have. Anything. It's yours. That was Moses. He had it all for himself. And yet, he made a decision to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy those pleasures. And so this morning, again, I have just one question. We'll be done. We're going to go down the hill. We're going to clean up the camp. We're done. And as we go down the hill, how much is your decision worth? How much is it worth? You see, he understood by faith that the reward was not in this life, but in the next. Moses wanted God to do something with his life. And I hope that's our heart today. I hope to say, God, would you do something with my life? Would you make something of my life? Would you help me to serve people? Honestly, this week, I'll say this a little bit later, but you know, I came to Kauai 12 years ago to be a pastor. And the fact that I've given my life for 12 years to the people of Kauai, serving, and some of those times were very bleak and desperate times. Difficult times for my family, for me personally. There's been times when people have attacked me, have said things about me that were not true, and it's been bad at times. But all of it's worth it for what happened this week. To see you raise your hand and say, I'm going to trust Christ, that's an eternal decision. You're going to go to heaven. For Monty, I'm so overjoyed for that decision. Many others that you guys made, the decisions to give your life to God, to serve God, to get something out of your life, to be something for your family, that makes everything worth it. And I can tell you that, yes, that's amazing, and that's what Moses wanted for God. He left a cushy life in the palace to identify with the people of God. But he understood by faith that that's not just it. Now, for me, it's been an amazing week, and there's many more weeks like that, but for me, there's something that's going to happen when I die. And Moses understood this as well. Moses understood that there is a reward. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And that's what I did this week. That's what many of the counselors did this week. That's what the cooks did this week. We're laying up treasure in heaven. We're investing in eternal things. And even for you, the decision that you made this week will have eternal rewards that are reserved in heaven for you. But here is the deal. Satan, our adversary, the devil, wants to buy your decision. And he wants to buy it with a little bit of pleasure. He wants to buy it with a little bit of sin. Earthly treasures. He will say, hey, for maybe a little bit of popularity, for maybe a little bit of fame, for maybe a little bit of money, give me your decision. Give me back what you made that week at camp. And he's waiting for you about mile marker 5 to say, hey, I got a deal. Let me have it. Sell it to me. And you have to make a decision. Am I for sale? Am I going to sell it? What's your decision worth? What's your price? I want to challenge you this morning. Determine as we leave here today that you're not for sale. I'm not for sale. I'm not going to give up my decision. I'm not going to sell it to Satan. I'm going to come through. I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to get to church. I'm going to do what I have to do to not be for sale. Because he wants to buy it from you. And he's coming with prices. He's coming with things that you like. He's coming with treasures. He's coming with pleasure. Everything that we like, he's coming. He's going to meet you. He's going to listen. Yeah, the camp was fun. It was great. We burned the mascot. Woo! Let's forget about what you made those decisions. Let's forget about that. For Judas, his loyalty was 30 pieces of silver. There's an old saying, everyone has a price. And Satan thought he knew the price for Job in the Old Testament. Job, the Bible says in chapter 1 and verse 7 of Job, and the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, one that escheweth evil? Then Satan answered him, doth Job fear God for naught? In other words, he doesn't fear God for no reason. Hast thou not made a hedge about him? You're protecting him. And about his house and about all everything that he has? Hast thou blessed the works of his hands, and the substance will increase in the land? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You see, Satan believed that Job had a price. Satan believes that you have a price. He believes all of us have prices. He's the one that says, everybody has a price. And if I can find out what that price is, I will pay it and they will curse God. Think about that today. If I say, hey, $100,000 if you'll curse God this morning. What's your price? $200? $300? $1 million? What's your price? Satan believes you have a price. If you have a price, you will sell your decision. Again, you've made some great decisions this week, and after you go down the mountain, Satan's looking and say, how can I get him? How can I get him? They're going down the mountain. Man, the reception's coming. I'm going to send a text. I'm going to do all these different things. I'm going to use a friend that's down there, and you're going to have to make some more decisions about what your decision is worth. For some, it may be popularity. Satan may say, hey, listen, I'm going to make you popular at school. Just give up those decisions at camp. You can't be popular and serve God with your life. You can't do those things and have everybody like you. You have to give that up. So give that up and I will make you popular. It may be popularity. I don't know what your price is. I don't know what you want. It might be that special girlfriend or boyfriend. Satan tells you, hey, listen, as long as you play it cool and don't go all crazy spiritually, I can get you that special friend. That girl, that guy, get him to like you. If you just tone it down a little bit. And even now, when we're talking about popularity, we're talking about friendship, we're talking about being liked and loved, we're thinking about selling out. We're thinking about giving up that decision. Maybe it's a simple comfort and pleasure. Decisions is too hard to keep. It's too tough. It's too difficult. It's like memorizing scripture verses at camp. It's too much. It's too tough. I can't do it. And you want that pleasure. Just want that comfort. Just leave me alone and let me be lazy. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's money or treasures, but whatever the case may be, teenager, you will need to determine by the grace of God that you're not for sale. Satan, you can come to me with anything you want. Pleasure, riches, popularity. I'm not for sale. My decisions are not for sale. I've made up my choice. I'm taking my stand. I'm going to get around the people of God to protect me, to help me with that choice. And I'm not for sale. No way am I buying what Satan is selling. So here's how we do it. There's a couple areas I want to look at that we're not for sale, and then we're going to get to the close, and then we're going to be done. There's three areas I've determined in this message before we even had the camp that I just think, teenagers, you got to determine in your mind, you're not for sale. First of all is purity. Purity in the mind, heart, and yes, even the body. To be pure means you're free from that which defiles. So I want to ask you this morning, men, women, are you for sale? Is your purity for sale for your mind, your heart, your body? What's your price? The Bible says of the heart in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Your heart is not for sale. Your heart is what you have, what you love. Don't fall in love with worthless things. Oftentimes we fall in love with things that have no value. We fall in love with a phone, a video game, a musical artist that we have no idea who they are. And we'll be willing to sacrifice friendships and relationships and decisions for things that are absolutely worthless. Don't do that. And when we talk to teenagers, there's teenagers that are supposed to be at this camp, and we're talking about coming to camp, and literally some of the excuses we heard, well, I've been playing a lot of video games lately, I just don't want to come. That was their excuse. Really? Video games? Because we all know the big reward you get for that at the end of your life, right? Remember how they get the tombstone out at the end of your life? Listen, this dude was good at video games. You don't even get a paycheck for it. I mean, it's worthless. Keep your heart. Don't fall in love with worthless things. Then keep your mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What that means is you need to be careful about what you think about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Watch what you think about. Be careful about your thoughts. Thoughts of harm to yourself, thoughts of lust, all these thoughts, you got to be careful. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. One of the reasons you want to listen to good, godly music, like Brother Samuel was talking about last night, is because the music that you listen to impacts your thoughts. And you start to think like the music that you listen to. And there's some of this stuff, it's not good. And we have thoughts of suicide. We have thoughts of harming ourselves. We have thoughts of doing evil things. I've talked to folks, they've thought about just killing people, just to kill people. And they're good people, but they're listening to the wrong music. If you need good, godly music, talk to Brother Omar or myself and one of your counselors. Just get you some good music that you can listen to that'll help your thoughts. Because it's important, because one of these days, those thoughts could get the best of you. Again, there's a tragic story in our church a few years ago where a young lady had some bad thoughts about her self-image, about her self-worth, and she ended up going into a closet, taking a cord around her neck, and she succumbed to those thoughts. She took her life because of what she was thinking. And I'm telling you tonight, today, you've got to watch what you got to keep your mind pure. You got to watch what you're watching. You got to watch what you're listening to. Keep it clean. If you're struggling with negative thoughts, thoughts of suicide, or thoughts of worthlessness, I challenge you to change your music. Start there. Change your music. We'll give you the CDs. We'll give you the MP3 files. We'll give it to you free. Just change it. Listen to it for a couple months, and you'll be amazed at the transformation it makes in your mind. Keep your mind pure. Your mind is not for sale. The third thing is your body. Your body is not for sale. I want to talk real serious with you for real quick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, this is what the Bible says. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And here's what the Bible says. It asks a question. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, the word fornication, you might not be familiar with it. I'm going to explain it to you real quickly. The word fornication is the old English word for sex outside of marriage. And it's the Bible says, the Bible, God says, flee that. Flee sex outside of marriage, because when you do, you sin against your own body. Your body's not for sale. Your body is to be pure. Don't sell it. And sometimes people sell it for so, they're so cheap with it. They value it so little. It's not for sale. In fact, if you are a Christian, Jesus purchased your body when he shed his blood on the cross. It's actually his body. What? Know ye not that ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? When he shed his blood on the cross, he came up to take residence inside your body as the Holy Spirit, and you became the temple of the Holy God. This means that God lives inside of you. Think about that. God lives inside of you. If you prayed this week and asked Jesus to be your Savior, he lives inside of you. What a tremendous truth. Determine today that that body that he lives inside of you is not for sale. Sorry, not for sale. God lives here. Occupied. And Lord willing, in just a few months, our church will begin to build a brand new building. It's going to be beautiful. I'm really excited about it. We're actually going to have more space for more teen activities, more stuff for you guys to do, more Bible studies. It's going to be amazing. Now, let me ask you this. What would you think of the person who took a spray can at a brand new church building that we just built and walked up to the walls and marked up all the walls of that new building? Brand new. God's house. And what would you think of that person who plays vile curse words over and over again through the sound system and on the screens that we have with pornography and all different kinds of filth on the TV screens? What would you think of that person who defiled God's house? What are you doing? Defiling God's house. But here's the thing. That beautiful building that we're going to build is just a building. Your God's house. Your body is the temple of God. You are where God lives. That's why it's important that you don't play filthy music over the sounds of it. That's why it's important that you don't let things come into your eye gate that are terrible, that are horrible, pornography and otherwise, that you protect it because that's God's house. It's his. It's not your own. Protect it. It's not for sale. You have to determine that. Hey, it's not for sale. This is God's. Protect it. Watch over it. Get around people that help you protect it as well. There's one more thing that I want to challenge you on as being for sale, and then we're done. What about church? There's one thing that Satan wants to buy from you, second to your decision, that's church. He wants you out of church. Because he knows if he can get you out of church, he can get you stop making decisions for God. He can stop having you follow up and grow. Monty, you're going to have to get in church. You're going to have somebody teach you and train you and help you. And we would do that. Anybody else as well? I know there's several others that we're working with. You got to be the church. And let me tell you this. I love camp. I love it. And I'm glad you're here. But I would trade 5 days at camp for 52 weeks on church. any day. You got to get to church. Each and every week. Faithful attendance to church week after week is more important even than 1 week of camp. And again, this is awesome. I love it. We're not going to change it. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to make it better next year. So come back. But you need to get to church after. The Sunday is coming. Sunday is just in 2 days. You go home, you take a nap, you clean your clothes, you get ready, you take a shower, you get to church on Sunday. That's important. You see, Satan thinks he has your number. He thinks he knows your price. He thinks he's got you all figured out. He says, I know their price. When they come down the hill on Saturday, I'm going to get them. I know exactly what they want. I know exactly how to get to their heart. It's over. He has your price. And you have to tell him. I can't tell him. We've done all we can this week. You have to tell him, Satan, I'm not for sale. And I'll be in church Sunday morning. If I have to get an Uber, if I have to call a pastor, if I have to call a youth pastor, I'm going to get to church. We'll give you rides too. If I have to tell my parents, listen, I'll be a good boy, I'll be a good girl, just give me to church. They'll do it. Are you for sale? Are your decisions for sale? Whatever the case may be, and I say things he has your number. For some, it's simple. It's as simple as being lazy. I just don't want to go. I'm just too tired. So early. 10 o'clock. Just lazy. That's all Satan has to do. Keep you up a little bit later on Saturday night. For some, it's bitterness that you've allowed into your hearts that, toward a person at church. And you got to say, you know what? That's not worth it. I'm not for sale. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Just a few weeks ago, I met a young man from the mainland. And he's just finished up his freshman year in high school. What's amazing about this young man, and you might appreciate this, Mark, he tried out for and made the high school basketball team at a public school. So he's a good baller. He can play some ball. As a freshman, he made the team. He was so excited about it because he'd been working very hard for this dream. It was a dream that had come true, and quite possibly it could lead to bigger things, including college scholarships and different things along those lines. This is a dream of his. And it came true his freshman year. He made the team. But he began to realize something was wrong. He's a Christian boy. His teammates were cussing and swearing. They're cussing and swearing all the time. He heard them talking about smoking marijuana. He heard them talking about drinking when drinking alcohol. And so you know what he did? Did he give in? He said, you know what, that's fine. I'll sell out my standards. I'll sell out my Christianity just to be on the basketball team, just to be able to have a part in what my dream is. Did he sell it? Was it for sale? No. He said, you know what? As a freshman, and tears streaming down his face, he says, I quit the team because I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. See, Satan thought he knew that boy's price, but he was wrong. One thing you know about Satan, he's often wrong. He's wrong about what you're worth. He's wrong about God. And if you tell him you're not for sale, he's wrong about your price. If you resist the devil, he will flee. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. Esau, hungry. You think about that. I mean, this is a rich family. This family had a lot of stuff. That's all they have for food in the whole country, and he's going to die in the next 10 minutes. He doesn't eat that porridge? No. He never valued his birthright. Even though it was all of his father's wealth, the blessings of God through his father to become a great nation, all of that came through that, and he didn't value it. And he sold it for a bowl of stew. So again, what's your decision worth? Some of you will sell it for less than a bowl of stew. And some of you will say, by the grace of God, I'm not for sale. I've been pastoring for 12 years now. I want you to listen right here and we're done. And we've done youth conferences. We've done youth rallies. We've done youth groups. We've done teen camps. We have spent, I'm telling you, this is not a joke, we have spent probably over $100,000, all of it combined, on teenagers. It's a lot of money. Each one of these camps costs about $10,000 to $12,000. It's a lot of money. And we spend all of that money so that you will make a decision. And one of the things that I've been so overjoyed with is the amount of decisions that have been made through the years. Hundreds of decisions have been made in these very chairs, right here at this camp, just like you did this week. And yet when you get back, as he does every year, Satan's going to be standing there with an offer. And so many have cashed out. Their decision wasn't that important. One of the things that breaks my heart as a pastor, one of the things that keeps me up at night, is the amount of teenagers that were hit right here, made awesome decisions. I mean, there's just a couple years ago, I remember the girls, her face is fresh in my mind. Incredible camper. An amazing, great, gave herself to the camp. Each and every game she was in, majorly. And not even 6 months after camp, she was pregnant with the baby. And again, we love the baby. We thank God for that. But she said, my decision at camp, it's not worth very much. And so many teenagers, I can tell you, there's dozens and dozens of teenagers. Their names, their faces are in my mind. Who have said, you know what? It's not worth it. Satan, what's your price? I'm selling. Over here. And the only regret I ever have about camp is those teenagers who said, I'm for sale. Before they're even down the mountain, Satan's got them bought. So my plea to you on this day is that you would say, Satan, not me. I'm not for sale. And that's your decision to make. That's your choice. You've got to tell that to Satan. I'm done. Because he's coming. He's coming right now. He's getting ready. He's prepping. He's got his price. He's got you figured out. And he has wrecked teenagers. Wrecked them. Over and over and over again. Sitting right where you're sitting. Dozens of them. And it was all sold for something so simple. One story, and then we'll pray. There's a book called Think and Get Rich. It was written by Napoleon Hill. He gave a powerful illustration about selling out. There was a man named R.U. Darby. He and his uncle got the gold fever during the time of the gold rush, and he went out to dig and get rich. And he staked a claim of land, and he went to work with a pick and a shovel, and it was a hard work. It was difficult work, but he was desperate to get rich. And after weeks of labor, he was finally rewarded with the discovery of a shining ore. He found gold. And he needed machinery to mine the gold, so he quietly covered the mine. He retraced his steps back to the east to Williamsburg, Maryland. And he told his family and just a few friends about the stake and about the gold that he found. They got together the money they needed for the machinery, and they had it shipped. And Darby and his uncle went back to work the mine. And the first car of ore was mined, and they shipped it to the smelter, and the returns proved that they had one of the richest mines in Colorado. And if they could just get a few more cars of gold, they would clear their debts and they would become rich. But something happened. The vein of gold disappeared. They drilled on and they drilled on and they drilled on, but nothing. And after months of drilling and not finding anything, they got discouraged and they decided to give up and sell. They sold all the equipment and they sold the mine for a few $100. The new owner hired a mining engineer to look at the mine and do some calculations, and the engineer advised that R.U. Darby had failed because he was not familiar with fault lines. And the calculations of this engineer determined that the mother lode vein, worth millions and millions of dollars, truly the richest mine in Colorado, was just 3 feet from where they stopped drilling. Teenagers, Moses wouldn't sell because he knew the reward. And here up at camp, it's been great. You've experienced a little bit of heaven, a little bit of that goal. You say, this is great. I made a decision for God. I'm going to do it. And you're going to get down the mountain. It's going to get, you're going to drill, you're going to drill, you're going to drill. And it may seem like coming up dry. And you may feel like, you know what? This isn't worth it. I'm going to sell my decision. I'm going to give up. And you're 3 feet from the reward. Moses knew about the reward. And so he said, I'm going to suffer with the people of God. He had recompense of the reward. Esau had no idea. For some of you, you're going to be like Moses. For some of you, you're going to be like Esau. And some of you are going to thrill my heart. And sadly, some of you will break it. But I challenge you, please make a decision that you're not for sale. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the Bible tells us that a life lived for Christ is incredible and that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The reward is beyond this world. Truly out of this world, as they say. So let me ask you this. Who's for sale? We're going to do an unusual invitation. I want to do this unusual because I want every eye opened. Because this is life. When you go down to school, you're not going to be able to bow your head and close your eyes. When you go back to your mom and dad, you're not going to be able to bow your head and close your eyes. I want to challenge you to this. If you're not for sale this morning, would you just stand? I'm thankful to see the counselors because there's been counselors. Counselors. They gave devotions. They served in the camp. We've had counselors, and they said, you know what? After camp, I'm for sale. Satan has your price. He thinks he knows you. He has counselor's price. Determined by God's grace, you're not for sale. If you would, let's come use the altar. Let's pray and say, God, I'm not for sale. Would you help me tell Satan I'm done? Come and use the altar.